I wish to encourage you this morning. I'd like you to be opening your Bibles to the book of Psalms, second chapter. I wish to encourage you this morning. I know, and Brother Collins just blessed my heart so much yesterday with that message, and I know that we do get discouraged from time to time, and I know that we do have trouble sometimes keeping on. We live in a society of ever-increasing ecumenicalism pressure. There's just that bent among the religious people of the world to everybody have some kind of get-togetherness, and I don't think it's of God in any way, shape, or form. The Bible continues to tell God's people to come apart. We live in a society of religious pressure to recognize every system, every other religious system. Brother Kirkman got me to thinking the other night. He prayed when I called on him to pray, and he said, it's my conviction that this war is more an ecclesiastical war than anything. And I was in Psalm 2 at the time. It really got my mind to thinking about this. God has only ever had one system at a time. During the days of the tabernacle, that was His system. He has ordained it, authorized it, and told them to function within the framework of that system. No one could build a copy of the tabernacle and start their own system. It still would not be of God. I don't care if they copied every socket and every piece of the tabernacle. It will not be of God. Then in the days of the temple, again, there's only one kind of system that's of God. I believe that today is still true. The Lord's kind of a church is the only kind that He recognizes as His system. We're increasingly like Nehemiah, and they said about him and the work about rebuilding the wall, those feeble Jews, what do they think they're doing? And we become increasingly like that. That feeble little Grace Baptist Church over there in Fairborn, Ohio, or Melbourne, Florida, or Faith Baptist Church, and here, there, or everywhere. What do they think they are? What do they think they're doing? I wish to encourage you this morning through this psalm just to continue to stand. Amen. I am so thankful for my salvation. And I am so thankful for the church that the Lord had placed me in back in the days when the Lord had first saved me and gave me good men as a pastor, as various pastors to teach me. And I wish to be that to our people by His grace. Let's read the first six verses of Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that setteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful. We are very thankful today to be here, to be alive and having a measure of health where that we can assemble together in this place. And we are most thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ and His power to save. And thankful, Father, that we believe that You have added us to Your kind of a church. And words cannot express the thankfulness that's in our hearts for these things. But may our lives demonstrate a thankfulness as we carefully and prayerfully stand for the truth of the Word of God. We'd ask it in Christ's name and always for His honor and glory.
Amen.
Amen. The first verse asks the question, why do the heathen rage? The word rage in the Hebrew is a tumult, a commotion, a blind rage. It's literally in the Hebrew a group out of control. There's a frenzy of hatred. And it's blind hatred, for the God of this world hath blinded their minds. Why do the people imagine a vain thing? What thing is it that they hate so much? What thing is it that they imagine that they can do? I wish to consider this morning a little bit. As I think about the Lord's church, and I'm constantly reminded in the New Testament that the Bible uses phrases in the singular as the faith over and over. A singular system of truth, a singular body of ecclesiastical truth,
amen,
the faith. Stand and contend and earnestly contend for the faith, not a faith, but the faith. Why do the heathen rage? Who do they think they are? What do they think they can accomplish? Why do they imagine a vain thing? Well, the kings of earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. In the second verse, we see that this blind rage has caused them to try to set themselves against the Lord, against His anointed. And just something that has struck me in the recent study of my Bible, as I went through a series at our church on the Trail of Blood and got up to the time of Christ and began to realize, and something that I guess I'd known but never really thought of, that the folks that clamored for the death of the Lord were the remnants of the religious system that God had started in the Old Testament. They had gotten so far off track that he came unto His own, and they received Him not. Rather, they killed Him. And so as I preach this and as I think about this morning, think about the responsibility that we have to be sure that we're on the right track, staying on the right track, not getting off. Been preaching through the Song of Solomon, and the fair lady cries out, "Where's my beloved?" And he said, the response came back in the first chapter, "If you don't know, follow the path of the sheep, because His sheep hear Him, they're following Him, follow their steps and you'll find Him." So we need to stay on track.
Amen.
Because there are people coming behind us, following us. Now, why do they have this blind rage? In the second verse, they've set themselves together against the Lord. They have... And who are the they here? We have the kings of earth. We have the rulers. They've taken counsel together. They've all joined forces together, and they've set themselves against the Lord. But why? But why have they done this? Now, we see in the third verse, the answer to the why: let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. In the third verse, we have the real root of their hatred for the Lord and His anointed. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Someone mentioned this last night, like the parable of the Lord in Luke 19. We will not have this man to rule over us. I will worship how I want to worship. I will do what I want to do. I will conduct myself how I want to conduct myself. That was the attitude of Cain. Cain said, I'm sincere, I'm going to give you the best, but God didn't accept that. Well, that doesn't seem very fair of God, no, does it? That's what the religious world would say. He did it in sincerity, he did the best that he could. Surely God will accept that. Well, sincerity isn't the whole part of that sentence, that we must worship and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And so Abel, by faith, brought the proper offering. The heathen, the people of the world, the rulers, the kings, they've said, we will not have this one to rule over us. No way, no how. This will not happen. Well, that is, in essence, the root of the problem is that they did not see a singular body of truth, morally or ecclesiastically either. They did not see, they said, what is truth? Remember what Pilate said? Luke, in I think it's John 18, verse 37. The Lord said, of a truth. And Pilate's response was, what is truth? Your truth and my truth, they don't have to be the same thing, as long as we believe it with conviction, is what the world says. But the heathen has raged. The people have imagined a vain thing. The kings of earth and the rulers have combined forces to set themselves together against the Lord, because we will not have this man to rule over us. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Who do they think they are? You know, who do they think they are, even all assembled together? With one word, the whole outfit would be gone if that's what the Lord wanted to do.
Right.
Who do they think they are? He sits in the heavens and laughs. Now, that's not the God preached on TBN. He's just a warm, fuzzy, kind of lovable guy that wouldn't hurt a flea. And he accepts anything if it's done sincerely. But that's not the God of the Bible. See, that he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. But what is the thing that's got them most in a huff? And what is the Lord's response? Notice the first word of verse 6, yet. I don't care what the heathen want. I don't care what the people of the world imagine. I don't care what the religious enterprises of the world can come up with. Yet, the Lord of heaven said, yet have I set my king. I don't care what they've done. I don't care what systems they've come up with. I don't care what they've imagined in their brain. Who are they? I, the Lord says, have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Now, as we think about this, he said, my king. Well, guess who that is? The Lord Jesus Christ. King of kings. Lord of lords. He said, I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. That word holy is to be sacred, separate, designed for holy and specifically and solely holy use. I've set my king, the Lord Jesus Christ, on my holy hill. I have set up a system, an ecclesiastical system. It's mine. I have set my king on that hill, that holy hill of Zion. I'd like to preach on God's holy hill this morning. Amen. That Zion is in the Hebrew, a parched place. Another name for Jerusalem, especially in the prophetic books. But what it represents is most important. It's representative of a religious system. It's representative of the place that God said, I will meet with my people. Like in the Old Testament tabernacle, there upon the mercy seat where the cherubims faced each other, and he said, there will I meet with my people.
Amen.
Not over here, in this very special way, there will I meet with my people. And there, no duplicates would be allowed. No duplicates, no counterfeits would be accepted. I don't care if they broke in, stole all the diagrams and blueprints, and figured out a way, which would be very difficult because the men of God were inspired of the Spirit of God to even build what was built. But if they could make an exact duplicate and set it up over here, it would not be acceptable because the Lord said there. That's where I'm going to meet with my people. And that's what's represented in this verse. I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I have set up the system. I hate to even use the word, the religious system that is accepted and acceptable by me. No one else has the right or authority to do that. In Psalm 132, verses 13 and 14. Psalm 132, 13 and 14. For the Lord hath chosen Zion. He hath desired it for his habitation. Now you say the Lord is omnipresent. Yes, he is. But in a very special sense, he has chosen. In the Word of God, we can see places where he has said, there I will meet with my people. This is a very special place. I believe that's what's in view with this holy hill of Zion. This, he said, is he hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. So you see here, the Lord hath chosen, and only he has the right to choose. And in Psalm 132, 13 and 14 there, we see the word Lord in all caps. Jehovah God. And I believe that the Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New Testament. And he said, this is where I have chosen to be my habitation. I have desired it, and this is the place that it's going to be. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell. I don't care what the heathen say. I don't care how much the people imagine a vain thing. I don't care how much they try to counterfeit it. I don't care how much they try to countermand it. This is where I'm going to stay. This is where I will meet with my people. The last part of verse 14, for I have desired it. That's what I want. And you know what? He can do what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, if he wants to or not. He is God. In Psalm 99 in verse 9, the Bible says, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill. Now, if you had any question about whether or not this holy hill of Zion has to do with a religious system or an ecclesiastical system, Psalm 99:9 just covers it, nails it down, and proves worship at his holy hill. That's where it is designated. This is the only place. For the Lord our God is holy. You worship at his holy hill, not Mecca. You worship at his holy hill, not Rome. You worship at his holy hill, not Rome or any of her harlot daughters. You worship at his holy hill. And he said, you come out and be separate from all that other, and you come to the place that I have designated to worship. So this ecclesiastical system is what has got the heathen all in a bunch about. Why are they raging? He's built this system and we don't like it. We're going to come up with our own system. We're going to come up with one that I can live with. We're going to come up with one that I can move within the framework of and not constrict me quite so much as the one that God has come up with. And they hate it. Psalm 129, verses 4 and 5. The Lord is righteous. I hear all those pages rustling. I'll wait. I have them all printed out. I've cheated. Psalm 129, verses 4 and 5. The Lord is righteous. He hath cut asunder the cords of the wicked. Let them all be confounded and turn back that hate Zion. You don't like the system of the Lord Jesus Christ? Tough. You don't like the system of, if you were wandering around in the wilderness and you didn't like the tabernacle? Tough. It wasn't your call. You're in the living in the days of the temple in Jerusalem, and you know that's such a restrictive, narrow place. I don't like to go over there, and they just so fussy about how things are done, and I want a little freedom. I want to do what I want to do, so I think I'm going to come up with a new one. It won't be accepted, see? It is not his system. And my encouragement to each one of us today, stand for the truth of the Lord's church. Continue to stand for the truth. Do you feel like you're just constantly going upstream? Do you just feel like that? I don't know if you have this experience. We have this experience. Probably you do as well. Visitor after visitor will come in. And usually, it's just one of a couple of things. But our stand on the Lord's church and what that involves with close communion, closed communion. These things just anger people. And Brother Kirkman said to me one time, if I just had, over the 30 years that I was the pastor of this church, if I just had those that left because they hated closed communion, we couldn't put them all in the building. That's not fair. I'm saved. Never said you wasn't. That's not fair. I want to observe the Lord's Supper with you. You can. All you have to do is submit to scriptural baptism, be a member of this church, and you can. Well, that's not fair. Who said? It's God's system. I'm just trying to work within the framework of the system. Everybody puts a fence around the Lord's table somewhere. Some people put it at denominational boundaries. That's their prerogative. That's not where I think the Bible puts it. I think the Bible puts it around the table of the membership of that church. Amen. And I used to be where Brother Bowen is now. And I hope he never, in one sense, I hope he never meets this lady that she came in. If the Lord would use you to teach her, that's great. But she tried to teach me. See, we had this visitor, and she came in, and I said, the members of the Grace Baptist Church will be observing the Lord's Supper such and such a time. And she caught that, the members of, and she hit me at the back door. And first-time visitor began to scream at me, just scream at me. And I tried to pull her away from the door just so people could get out because, boy, they wanted out bad. And Deacon got her on one side, and he said, look, you didn't have to come here, and you don't have to stay. You know, nobody is keeping you and binding you to our belief system. But this is our belief system. And this is what we believe the Bible teaches. And she screamed at me, that's not fair. She wouldn't look at Scripture with me. She wouldn't discuss the matter rationally. Just not fair. She had a different system in mind. The ecumenical mindset of today. You know, she had a different system in mind. But the Lord said, the heathen are just raging. The people are imagining a vain thing. I didn't set up all that other stuff. I've set up this system. I have set my king upon my holy hill. Now in Psalm 110 and verse 2. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Notice in the verse that we just read, let them all be confounded and turn back that hate Zion. You hate that system. I understand that. And even amongst professing believers, you'll find a great deal of hatred for the truths that you and I believe and stand for. Yeah. You, One of the brothers said to me yesterday, what has always impressed me and what I've always loved about this group is that people can come from all the corners of this country and come together and in main part believe the same. You know, you could put in a thimble the things that we really disagree on. And on the basic fundamentals of the faith, there's good unity, and I thank the Lord for that.
Amen.
But he said, the Lord, let them all be confounded that hate, and turn back that hate Zion. And he's the one turning them back. Now, he may use us as instruments in this warfare. And all we may have is the sword of the Lord. You know, we take that book, and we say, this is what it says. And buddy, they turn back. More than they turn this way, they turn back. Brother Kirkman, I quote him a lot. I've listened to him preach a lot on tape. And he said, I hear all this about decisions. You know, constantly hearing about decisions. How many decisions did you have? He said, man, I have decisions every service. Most of them decide not to come back. But I have decisions every service. Let them be turned back if they hate Zion. God will add to his church. God will add to his church. Yes, we are to do everything that we can do. Yes, within the framework of Scripture. Yes, we're to be brotherly with folks, and decently and orderly. But ultimately, as Brother Lawrence preached at Bryan Station, it's not the pastor's responsibility to get folks in the church. That's God's business. Let them be turned back if they hate Zion. Brother Gormley said, I don't know why they want to get all these lost folks in the church. He said, it's hard enough sometimes to deal with the ones that say they're saved, you know. What? Let them be turned back if they don't like it. God will turn their hearts and make them to love it if they're one of his. And if he's added one of them to his kind of a church, it'll be some of the sweetest things.
Yes.
It'll be some of the sweetest doctrines that you'll ever come across.
Yes.
Psalm 3 in verse 4. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. That's where he dwells. That's his special, that's representative of his special place to meet with his people. I love being in the house of God. I love being where the saints of God are assembled together. I can get a blessing out of most anybody that'll preach with an open Bible. But I love, above all, the brethren that I know believe the doctrines of grace and the Lord's local church, and they stand up before me with an open Bible and preach the Word of God as the Lord has laid it upon their heart. I have met with God because I have met with God's people. And I've been so blessed just in this conference and down through the years at other conferences and at other meetings at our home church, my home church, that I've been able to meet with God. And I'm so thankful for that. In Psalm chapter 20, verses 1 and 2, I want to encourage you to stand and hear this passage says, the Lord, hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Strengthen thee out of Zion. I had not realized, and I love computers for this, all of the references, especially in the book of Psalms, to Zion and this holy hill that Psalms 2 is talking about. Psalm 99. Well, I skipped one here. Psalm 50, verses 1 and 2. The mighty God even the Lord has spoken, and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Now, you understand, he's in control of everything. He's in control of the ladybug that just flew in the back door. You know? And he's let a lot of them come into our building over there. We have woods all around us. He's in control of everything. He has called it all. He's not calling it from the sense of the broadcasters up in the booth looking down upon the field and saying, this is what happened. He has ordered it. He has designated, this is what will happen. Amen. And he knows the future because he's determined the future. Amen. That whole idea of foreknowledge is not that he just knows the future. He knows it because he's determined it. Amen. And he said here, and has called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Now the psalmist says the perfection of beauty. You know what? The heathen, they don't see a lot of beauty there. The heathen, the people that are imagining a vain thing and raging, they don't see a lot of beauty there. And the world and all the systems represented, the religious systems represented, they don't see a lot of beauty in Faith Missionary Baptist Church. Y'all are just a pimple on the backside of a hound dog. It's worthless in their eyes. They just don't care. The Lord cared. He gave his life in a very special way. And we had it pointed out to us in Acts 20:28 that he gave his blood. Amen. For his church. Amen. He cares. Let the heathen rage. Amen. Let the people imagine a vain thing. Amen. God's in control, and he'll turn their hearts if it's his plan to do so, just like he turned yours and just like he turned mine. He took this Lutheran boy who didn't know enough Bible. He couldn't have found the book of Psalms without going to the index and figuring out what page it was in, you know? And he took this unworthy sinner and saved him, put him in a good, sound, scriptural church, taught him some truth with some good men of God, standing, contending, teaching, and caused me to love these things, and caused me to try to teach it to others, and caused me to want to encourage you today to continue to stand wherever the Lord's placed you. He will strengthen thee out of Zion. Psalm 50, we already read, out of Zion the perfection and the beauty of God has shined. Psalm 99, verses 1 and 2. The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. Now this is something that they don't like much of either. I said this the other day, I was preaching on the fear of God, and it's amazing. I don't know that I've ever preached a message on the fear of God that I haven't had church members to get riled up at me. Not you know, lost folks from the community, church members to get riled up that I ought to stand in awe and dread of God. I mean, that they just think that's unheard of. Well, they've been watching TBN too much. They've been listening to the popular radio programs too much. They've been going into the bookstore, a Christian bookstore, so-called, and buying all that junk that the religious mechanism is putting out. There's women going to this big, the other women of faith, not the ones that are here, but the big women of faith conferences. You know, it's garbage. It's garbage. The Lord said, I have set my holy hill. I've set my king on my holy hill of Zion. Psalm 99, the Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. He setteth between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the people. the religious world today will have God to be sovereign in anything but man's salvation.
Right.
You know? In anything but man's salvation.
Yes.
But nonetheless, he is sovereign and reigns and rules over that as well. Psalm 102, we must hurry along. Thou shalt rise and have mercy upon Zion. For the time to fade, I'm sorry, Psalm 102, verses 13 through 16. Thou shalt rise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time, see, he's sovereign, is come. For thy servants take pleasure in her stones, and favor the dust thereof. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. Old Zion, even the name of it means parched place. It doesn't look like much. But it is. In the sight of God, it is. It doesn't always look like much, but it's his, bought and paid for. I think many, many times our church folks get envious of other religious systems. They get envious. They hold up some of these folks in high esteem. That ought not to be. That ought not to be. The Lord said, I have set my king upon my holy hill, and now in the New Testament days, I have established my church, and there's no other system that I'll accept. This is it. And yet, our little churches here and there are looked down upon and scoffed at. And somebody over in a stadium down the road can gather thousands of people to hear a pep rally from somebody that says something religious once in a while. Listen. God has saved me by his amazing grace. God has added me to one of his churches. Why would I be envious of somebody that's not? Why would I hold in esteem somebody that's not? It discourages me so much when I see that. Psalm 48, verses 1 and 2. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king. This is my encouraging, this is what I want to close with as an encouragement, Psalm 9:11. Sing praises unto the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. The last part of that verse says, declare among the people his doings. We are to be declaring the doings of God. We are to be declaring the sovereign saving grace of God. We are to be declaring the judgment of Almighty God, and that people will stand before Him one day. We are to be declaring His doings not only with me, not only with those that He saved, but with the heathen. God help us to stand.
Amen, brother.
May this feeble attempt of preaching encourage each one to stand. Back to Psalm 2, and we'll close. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that setteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion.
Amen.
Brother.